We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. A special welcome and shout out to everybody watching, viewing this online. We're so glad to have you guys. There's some wonderful people I want to mention. Linda, we're praying for you. We're praying for Cheryl all the way out in Florida. We're praying for Teresa up in McKinney. Love you guys. Thank you. And everyone else I didn't mention, thank you guys for tuning in. It means a lot to us. Look at somebody and say Merry Christmas to them. My gosh, that was really lackluster. Come on, do it a little better. Merry Christmas. Come on, everybody. Merry. Put the Merry in it, guys. Come on, yeah. Gosh. Try to match the energy of Ashley next time. She's like way over the top with energy. We are in the second week of our series, Chill Christmas. And last week we told you, do not breathe life into tradition, but choose traditions that breathe life into you. And let me tell you, that's going to take some time. That's really going to take you some time looking at your traditions and what is sparking joy or not sparking joy, to quote Marie Kondo, I think is her name, right? You know about that. That's a thing. All of y'all look like y'all don't know Marie Kondo. So I've got the wrong group I'm preaching to today. All right. But if it's not bringing life to you, if it's not bringing a smile to you, if it's not bringing joy to you, are you sure you need to do that thing? So that's just the bottom line there. We talked about the hope that lights up dark times. Today, I want to talk to you about navigating holiday chaos. Today, last week, we talked about hope. This week, we're talking about peace. Over here, we just did a traditional thing over here. We've lit the hope candle from last week. And this week, we're lighting the peace candle. I want to get right to it. I want to ask you this. Is your schedule chaotic? Let's just look around the room. Some of y'all, oh my gosh, some of y'all don't even have to like nod your head. Your eyes say it. Like they're twitchy. They're twitchy eyes. Like they're like, whoa, what's going on? Thank you for being here today in the middle of your chaotic schedule. It means a lot that you're here today. It would have been really easy to say, because things are busy, because things are not all great, I think I might not come today. I think you made the great decision to come here today, and I believe God is going to work in your life today. I believe that. So I want to know today, which picture does your family look like? We got two pictures here. Which picture is your family? Who recognizes the picture in the bottom right? Who recognizes it? Yeah, right. What is that? It's Home Alone. Yeah, the holiday classic, Home Alone. Keep the change. You filthy animal. It's Home Alone 2, Home Alone 1, right? So I want to, you just think about this for a second. Which picture do you feel like? We got the picture on the top. They're all on a couch. They're like strumming a guitar. They're like just joyous. They're having a good time. It's peaceful. And then everybody is just going their separate directions, right? Excellent. Someone drank too much Pepsi. And if you know the movie, I'm just sorry. I'm geeking out about the movie. Is this a peaceful time for you? Or is it a hectic time for you? And what energy are you matching today? And if it's not a peaceful time, I want to know why not. So let's talk about why not for a second. Let's talk about the world. The world is constantly at war. In this year, 2024, there were 56 ongoing national conflicts. That number's probably gone up this week. Assad just got thrown out of Syria in the last 24 hours. So let's call it 57. And I don't even know if this number takes into account the skirmish that happened in South Korea this week. That's just this week, y'all. There is war going on all the time. And sometimes we're like, man, well, I'm so glad we're in the peace, in a peaceful time. We are not in a peaceful time. There is more war going on right now than since right before what sparked World War II. that gets me pausing up just thinking about these 56 ongoing national conflicts involve 92 nations. There are 92 nations right now that they would look at us and say, you think today is peaceful? You think today you were celebrating the peace of Christmas? We don't get it because our nation is at war. 92 nations. Last year, that's 2023, there were 162,000 war deaths. 162,000 war deaths. We forget about this stuff, don't we? This year's numbers will be similar. They will be very close to matching those numbers. Even stable democratic nations like South Korea, if you ask, what is the bastion of hope in Asia politically? You're going to say Japan, and you're going to say South Korea. You realize these are democratic nations where they elect their leaders and they unelect their leaders. Well, that one of those nations, South Korea, had a coup this week. And they declared martial law. And there was a real touch-and-go moment where we're like, man, South Korea might not be a democracy in 5 minutes. You want to know what's chaotic? It's the entire world is chaotic. And here in the U.S., we are not at peace either. Now, we have no weapons live active war. But I would tell you that we are lacking peace. We have political divide. One of the major conversations happening between people and their therapists this year is, I've got a holiday party and I don't think I can go see Uncle Dan because Uncle Dan voted for so-and-so and I voted for this person and I don't think I can be in the room with Uncle Dan. And so now, Uncle Dan, you're out of my life forever because of something that really is really kind of stupid. Relationship struggles everywhere. I told you last week that in January, that's the month where the most divorces happen. But in December, that's the month where they're deciding. That's happening right now. How about money? I hate this stat. Whoa, I looked and tried to disprove this stat, but CBS News says this. The average American is expected to spend $1,778 per person. That just makes me scream. What is that? 1,700. You're saying what? You weren't listening, son? The average person spends $1,778 per person this holiday Christmas season. That is what they're expecting. My gosh, you don't think that is a lack of peace going on there? As they're spending it, they're going, oh my gosh, I'm worried about that bill that's going to come. They're having trouble sleeping. How about youth? Youth deal with a different animal than any of us did growing up. They've got school plus social media. And here's what school is. I've been around my kids' middle school. Here's what that's like. No one fits in. Everyone bullies one another. And you only feel good by bullying somebody else so that they feel a little worse than you. And so it's a war zone. There's no peace there. And then there's the mental and the physical health. Gosh, they've got all kinds of writings about this is the time of year to take your vitamin D because you're not getting enough sunlight. That's probably true, right? It's already like, feels like it's midnight outside. It's like 5:03. The sun is going down, right? This is, that affects your mental health. That affects your physical health. We're at war in every direction. But be it our body, be it our mind, be it our pocketbook, be it our relationships, every part of our life is at war. So let's see that family picture again. Chances are good that you are not the peaceful family in this picture. Chances that it's above average. You would be the minority to be the peaceful family. That's how our world is today. And that we are not different as Christians. So quiet in here today. Do y'all want to preach today? Look at me real quick. We are not immune to the disease of constant war. We're not immune. Chances are very good you're burnt out and feeling left out while you are stressed out. And yet the Bible has the gall to say this about the Christmas season. Luke 2:14. Let's pay attention to what the Bible says. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." And on earth, peace. Other translations say, peace on earth, goodwill to men. You know that one because it's especially in songs. Christmas, according to angels, should be marked with peace. But what exactly does that mean? That's really what I want to talk about today. What does it really mean when we're talking about peace? What does that mean? Does that mean no chaos? Because if it means no chaos, I don't have any peace. Because there's plenty of chaos. If I don't have enough chaos in my life, I get phone calls with your chaos. And now I'm in the middle of your chaos. Karen, with you. Just Friday, I was on my way driving very quickly to an ICU because someone's life was in chaos. Or maybe peace means no more wars. No more wars. If it's no more wars, we have absolutely no peace. Because there's wars everywhere. Does it mean no more money problems? Nope. It better not mean that, right? Because there's money problems everywhere. How about no more relationship struggles? I want to tell you that peace doesn't mean any of these things. And a lot of the things that we think as peace, that we define as peace, it's not that at all. Is that news to you today? I want to invite you over the next few minutes to rethink peace. Somebody say, rethink peace. At the birth of Jesus, the angels declared peace on earth. But the world Jesus was born into was not perfect. It was not chaos-free. That world that he was born into was broken. There was still chaos after the angels said peace on earth. There was still chaos after those shepherds found their way to the manger. There was still chaos after wise men came. There was still chaos after Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came to earth. What kind of chaos? Darkness was still there. Wars were still there. Murder and death were still there. Poverty was still there. Relationship issues. All of that still existed, although the angels declared peace on earth. So we're going to have to rethink peace. Because they said peace was on earth. How is that possible unless peace is not necessarily our list of criteria? I want to tell you, peace does not mean problem-free. Peace does not mean everything is rainbows and cupcakes. Everything's perfectly all right. Everybody gets along with you. No, peace does not mean that. Even though the light of Jesus came, there was still evil present. There was even still darkness present. You don't have to look further than the story. As you look through the story, there's an evil man named King Herod. He is evil and he does the most dark things you can think of. Jesus was born in the middle of a war-torn nation. If any nation on the face of the planet has experienced more war than Israel, I don't know what that nation is. Israel is literally placed in a position between Europe and Asia and Africa. So any tyrant that was ever on a war path marched right through where? Bethlehem. They marched right through Bethlehem. They called it the crossroads of the world. If you just sat your stool out in the middle of Bethlehem, you would have seen every war, every army march right through Bethlehem. crossroads of the world. That's exactly where God decided to send his son, to the middle of a war-torn nation. What was the state of Israel at that moment? Were they in charge of their own sovereignty as a nation? No, they were under the occupation of the most brutal empire. It was at the worst times. What's the name of that empire? Who knows? It's Rome with the Caesar. And they punish you by crucifying you. This was where Jesus arrived. And yet the angel said, peace on earth. Jesus was born, and a self-made king, Herod, started killing all the young boys. Why? In order to protect his own power. And yet, with that awful thing, the angel still said what? Somebody help me. They said, peace on earth. Jesus was born, and yet poverty was still around. Racism was still around. Prejudice was still around. Sexism was still around. How do we know? Because much of Jesus' teachings are actually about these things. Jesus was born, and his mother Mary was still thought of scandalously because of a miraculous birth. You know that she was thought of scandalously. So let's rethink. Peace. You can have problems, and the angels still declare peace on earth. This is why the angels declared peace in the middle of chaos, in the middle of darkness, in the middle of murder and persecution and poverty, in the middle of unfairness. You can still have peace. So what is peace? How do you define it? What is our definition? What if our definition is different from God's definition? I think chances are real good that our definition of peace is different from God's definition. So let's look at it. Who knows the Hebrew word for peace? It is shalom. Everyone say shalom. Look at somebody, say shalom. Shalom. We're going to look at it right here. There it is. That is straight from blueletterbible.org, right? We just looked up the word shalom right there. And what is the number one biblical use of the word shalom? Peace is most often used to convey completeness, wholeness, not lacking, but having all that you need. Is that your definition of peace? If it's not, by tonight, I want it to be. By tonight, I want us to get a hold of what real peace is. When those angels declared peace on earth, they were declaring wholeness. They were declaring the arrival of something we'd always been missing. That's probably different from our definition. That's the definition we need. Now let's look at a place where they use the word shalom. You read it every Christmas, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom, Prince of Peace, Prince of Completeness, Prince of Wholeness, Prince of the Answer for everything that you lacked. That is what the word means. When we call Jesus our Prince of Peace, we are saying that he is the ruler, the authority, the leader that makes us whole and makes us complete. This season is not peaceful because we're always looking for one more thing. Y'all hang with me. This season is not peaceful because we are always looking for one more thing. Who thought that they were done with their holiday shopping this week only to remember, oh no, I need to buy for so-and-so. Let me see you. Come on. Was that anybody? Am I the only one? That is me. I was foolish enough to think, come on, Jesse. My boy, Jesse. Lily, come on. I thought I was foolish enough to think, somebody asked me, hey, what percentage of your of your shopping are you done with this season? I'm like, man, I think I'm there. I think I did it. And then as soon as I said it, I thought of someone. I'm like, oh, I'm not done. I have to go back. I have to go back to that awful place they call the mall. Pray for me, church. The season is constantly you remembering that you got to do one more thing. You got to buy one more thing. You got to go to one more party. There's always one more thing. Imagine if we could say and truly mean these words. I have everything I need. Imagine if we could say those words and mean those words. If we could say those words and mean them, that would be peaceful. That would be shalom. That would not be chaotic. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came to provide for us everything we need. And if you think Christmas is about any other thing, I feel bad for you. If you think about life is about any other thing, I feel bad for you. If you think about Christianity as something other than Jesus Christ providing all the stuff that you need, then I feel really bad for you. You are probably really depressed, and you're probably really chaotic, and you're probably really busy tomorrow running after the one more thing. His life, the life of Jesus, an example, showed us that he was always providing everything people needed. Oh, you're blind? Jesus provides the answer. Oh, you're hungry on a hillside? Jesus provides the answer. Oh, you have leprosy? Jesus provides the answer. Oh, you're a woman caught in a guilty situation and you're about to be executed right on the street? Jesus gives her exactly what she needs. Oh, you're a fisherman that has no future in your life? Jesus gives them exactly what they need. Oh, you're a person that's murdering people? Everywhere you go, Jesus knocks you to the ground and says, I am what you need. This is Jesus. It's all throughout your gospel. The gospel is about Jesus giving everything that we need. Jesus wants to provide all that you need. If you need something tonight, you're in the right place. But we play a part in this. Here's what we got to do. We got to make a choice. Somebody say choice. And here is the choice for you today. Jesus is either a piece of your life, or Jesus is the peace of your life. For y'all that are listening online, I spelled peace differently both times. Jesus is either a P-I-E-C-E. He's just one piece of your life. Or Jesus is the P-E-A-C-E. The shalom. The completion. The wholeness of your life. More than wordplay, this is true. And more than just clever choices of words for a sermon, this is your choice that you have to make. If we aren't careful, Jesus will just be a piece of our holiday celebration. Jesus will just be a piece of our schedule. He will just be a piece of our focus. Well, we spent a little time thinking about him. We spent a little time. We went to a church service. We spent a little time. We blocked out, you know, an hour on Sunday. If Jesus is only a piece, then you will always be looking for one more thing. But if Jesus is the shalom peace, then you already have everything you need. You already have everything you need. Let's look back at our family picture here. Our family picture. One of these is shalom. One of these pictures is not. Do you have a piece or the piece? In the Christmas story, the angels told the shepherds, peace has come to earth. The peace they are talking about is not temporary into war. There was still war going on in the world on the night Jesus was born. The peace they're talking about is not less conflict. There wasn't any less conflict when Jesus come to earth. In fact, much of Jesus' ministry was causing conflict. If you don't think so, you should have been in the temple that day. He just started turning over tables. Should have been where he walked up to where he walked up to the Pharisees and said, "Oh, you are dead inside." The peace that the angels spoke to the shepherds about was not that they would have less stress and chaos and less uncertainty, because they had all of that still. No, the angels were saying that Jesus, the Prince of Shalom peace, has come to earth. The one thing we'd always been looking for has come to earth. Whatever it is that you need. You need healing? Oh, I got good news. Peace has come. And he can wholly heal you. If you need rescue from a situation, I got good news. Peace has come. Jesus Christ can rescue you out of your situation. If you are so lonely, I've got good news. The one who loves you like nobody else has come. He has come to give you wholeness in that area of your life. If you need wisdom, you need to figure out all the questions of life, I got good news for you. The one who is all wisdom has come. And if you have him, you have all of this. Not just a peace, the peace. Somebody say, "Jesus, you are the peace of my life." So what do we do with this info? Here's some just easy application. Who likes easy application? Who likes easy? Like easy? Yeah. Easy Bake Oven, part of my sermon is coming up right here. Number one, just say no. No, we're not, it's not a drug, like 1980s drug, anti-drug thing. Just say, this is your brain on drugs. Not that. But I have a different thing for you to say no to. I want you to say no to overcommitment. Overcommitment is chaos. Overcommitment is you saying, "Well, I'll do one more thing. One more thing will make everyone happy." One more thing has never made them happy. So leave it alone. Is that all right? You're doing some things just to make them happy. And when you get to the party, they ain't happy. Guard your time and your priorities with what truly matters. Try this. Here's what I want you to try. Do not do things you do not want to do. And if somebody says, "Why aren't you doing it?" You just say, "Pastor Chris," you just throw me under the bus. I'm good for it. You just say, "Pastor Chris says that I probably should take some time for myself." Okay? This just gave you a solid. I gave you a clear out right there. See, you don't have to go to my holiday party later this week. All right. Number two. Number one was just say no. Number two, stick to a budget. Avoid overspending, especially on credit cards. Oh, wait. I'm back out here. Got to talk to you. But you're like, "But they really need, my kids really want that toy. They really want that toy." I got really stupid news for you. In 90 days, the average is 90 days. In 90 days, all the toys are broken. 90 days, it's not going to matter. But you'll still be paying for it on your credit card. Don't do it. Don't do it. Somebody said, "Oh, preach, preacher, preach, preacher." In fact, it'll give you something else. This is like nerdy stuff you're not going to want to hear, but do it, and next year you'll thank me. You'll think I'm the best pastor come next year if you will listen to me right now. Are you ready? Gosh, it's going to take a whole 365 days for this to pay off. But I'm going to look really smart if you do it. Here it is. Start a Christmas fund for next year. ASAP. As soon as possible. What is the line? As ASAP as possible. Do it as ASAP as possible. Start, if you're constantly struggling with your funds, guess what? You know what's going to happen on December 25th of 2025? Christmas is again going to take place. And you're going to want to buy gifts. So if you started saving money as ASAP as possible, now you would feel better, a lot better. You'd feel, I don't know, peaceful come next December. Somebody say, that's good.
Good.
Okay, I also want to tell you this. Be realistic. They have this ungodly thing that comes on. There's the worst channel. The worst channel on your TV, Sophia, in December, is the Hallmark Channel. I know I just made every woman mad. I'm so sorry. But it is the worst because in those Hallmark movies, they have the most unrealistic things. And it's the same plot all the time. I want to tell you today that life is not a Hallmark movie. You know what the Hallmark movie it is, right? Right. He's a really wealthy businessman who has never had time for himself, but he just comes to a small town where his car breaks down and he finds some people that live at a slower pace of life and he finds love and they're like, oh, I can change him. And then they all live happily ever after. I want to tell you, that's just some bunk right there. The truth is we're all broken people. Be realistic. Be realistic. Don't think that it has to be perfect. Don't think that everyone has to be smiling. Listen, I've given up on everyone in my house having a good day on the same day. I've just given up on it. It's like, all right, Will, today's your day to be bad. I'm really sorry. The rest of y'all, please have a good day. And then tomorrow will be Sarah, and then it'll be me on Thursday. I've just given up on that. But people have problems because they're broken, and people have issues. Be realistic about that. You are not going to fix everything in your life tonight. You're not going to solve all the problems in your world today or even this week. That is going to take some time. Somebody say, be realistic. And then I want to tell you this one. This is the last one. I want you to use this one. Pray before entering the room. This is really key. Don't just use this in December. Use this for the rest of your life. How does this work? So you're going to walk into a room where people, not everybody in that room likes you. You're going to walk into your office and your boss, you're really uncertain about your boss. And you're going to walk in the church and the last time you were there, somebody looked at you weird and you've been bothered by it all week. And you're going to walk into the holiday party and Uncle Dan is there. Remember from earlier, Uncle Dan? Remember Uncle Dan? And you're going to walk into this situation. Before you walk into the room, you pray. And you say, God, I don't know what's on the other side of this door, but I invite you into this door with me. God, you are everything I need on the other side of this door. I don't know what Uncle Dan's going to do, but I know how you can help me through it. And I don't know what my boss is going to do, but I know how you're going to help me through it. And so you pray for the peace of God, the shalom of God. You pray, God, whatever it is that I'm missing, God, you have already supplied it. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And guess what happens? Once you walk into that room, the room changes. You know why? Just because you're so awesome. Now listen, you are awesome and I believe that. I tell you that all the time, how awesome you are. But that's not why the room changes. You know what changes the room? Jesus himself changes the room. If you will pray before you walk into the room, you'll see rooms change. You'll see rooms change. Pray before you enter the room. I want to remind you, Jesus is either a piece of your life or Jesus is the peace of your life. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Have you been focusing on all the pieces of this holiday season? We've got Legos at our home. I love it when y'all give my kids Legos, and at the same time, I'm always like, oh no. Because what happens is they open that Lego bag and they immediately drop it, and Legos go everywhere. And have you ever stepped on one of those things? They lie in wait. They hide for you. And then while you're just going to get your wife a cup of water in the middle of the night, that's when it finds you. And it finds you right on your bare foot. My gosh. But you've got these Lego pieces everywhere. Have you been focusing on all the pieces of the holiday season? Right now, all of my kids are begging us. We've got a Lego Christmas tree. It's about this tall. And we're supposed to build it. And there's a part of me that really wants to. And then there's a part of me that says, why did I buy that thing? Because it's so many pieces. And if I will think about all the pieces, I will freak out. But if I'll think about spending time with my kids and completing the picture that's on the box, I don't feel so crazy. I want you to take a moment to focus on the reason the angels declared peace on earth. It wasn't that there would be one less war. It wasn't that there'd be less stress. It wasn't that their finances would work out and their relationships would be just fine. No, the reason they declared peace was because Jesus, the one who is the author and the finisher of everything, Jesus, the one who created all things, Jesus, the one who heals broken people and he raises dead people back to life, the one who fulfills all the missing pieces of our life in himself, he had come to earth. That's the reason. Somebody say, Jesus, you're the reason. So I'd like us all to stand in this place. I'd like us, here's your call to action for the week. Here's what I ultimately want you to do tonight. Could you please stand with us? Would you please just humor me enough to stand with me, please? Thank you. Number one, here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on the Savior, not the season. The season's cool. I love the season. But the Savior is what makes the difference. There are a lot of holiday seasons, but there's only one Jesus. Focus on Him. Take time each day to reflect on Jesus. What does that look like? Here's one thing. I challenge you with this. Listen, when you wake up in the morning, do you know the number one thing that like 95% of people grab in the morning? The first thing they touch in the morning is their phone. The first thing. And then they're inundated with all the stuff. There are 12 notifications. All from me saying, where were you? You weren't at church. Instead of grabbing the phone, I challenge you to do this. Your phone's right there. But first, nothing on that phone can solve the longing in my heart, the need in my heart, the worry in my life. Like you, Jesus. And you spend the first few moments of your day saying, Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for being all that I need. Thank you, God. I've got all these needs in my life, but Jesus, I know that you're the answer to them. I've got problem at work later, but God, I know you're going to. And you're just like prayerfully inviting Jesus into your day. And then go grab your phone. Then go grab your phone, all right? And don't forget to like and subscribe, Redemption Church. Number two. Choose peace, shalom, over pieces. Figure out what that looks like for you. Do you feel anxious? Then take a big, deep breath and choose peace. Take a big breath and say, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I live in your care and in your wisdom. Take a deep breath. Why don't you do that all over this place? Just take a deep breath. Just breathe it in. And on the exhale, say his name, Jesus. Jesus. Do that when you're freaking out. I guarantee you, that is you choosing shalom over all the pieces of your life. And then here's the thing. I want you to do this one. Tell somebody. Tell someone else about the difference peace makes in your life. One of the wonderful testimonies is when somebody looks at you and says, I don't know how you do it. Has anybody ever had somebody say that? It's a beautiful moment. I don't know how you do it. The answer is pretty clear. If you've ever had that, you're like, I'm not sure how I do that either. It must be Jesus that's helping me. And Jesus can help you too. And now you're telling them about the difference peace has made in your life. That makes you a world-changing person if you will tell somebody about that peace. And then last, I want you to pray and worship. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Well, what does that say? Here's what it says. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. I remember the night Jesus became my fullness. I remember how worried I was. I remember how depressed I was. I remember what a failure I was. But I remember the love of Jesus made all of that stuff not matter anymore. He was the complete thing an 8-year-old boy needed. January 24th, 1988, Jesus became all that I needed. Tonight and for the rest of this week, I want you to pray and worship that thought right there. Pray it. Prayer looks like this. Jesus, I need something, but God, I'm complete in you. Worship looks like this. Jesus, I need these things over here, but I'm looking to you and I'm exalting you and I'm thanking you for being the answer to these things. Before tonight's over, I want everybody to have prayed and worshiped that Jesus Christ is head over every power and authority, that He is the completion that we need. Those are the three things I want you to do today. Why don't you come in this place? Why don't you make a move right now? Dream Team, I want to see you down here. I want to worship. I want to pray with people. I want to see Jesus make a difference in our life. Come on. Don't wait. Let's come right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person watching and listening online. Lord God, you are the head of all principality and power over every authority. That's who you are, Jesus. Lord God, be the thing that they need, Jesus. Lord, help them to realize, God, that they have wholeness in you. Help them to call on you. Oh, friend, you've been reaching out for all the pieces. Now reach out to Jesus and watch Him fulfill all that you need in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for making that difference in our life. Somebody needs healing in Jesus' name. Call on Jesus as your healer. Someone needs wisdom. Call on Jesus for that wisdom right now. Someone needs a financial miracle. Call on Jesus for that financial miracle right now. He is all that we need in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray together in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.